Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hepatitis cannot wait. And we have all the tools. We need to act now.
The Chronic Truth Podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. The views expressed by our guests are their personal opinions and do not constitute medical advice. While we share experiences and strategies related to health, neither the host nor the guest are acting as licensed medical professionals unless explicitly stated. Always consult your physician or qualified healthcare provider before making any changes to your treatment plan. Listeners assume all risks associated with implementing any information discussed on this show.
Hello, welcome to the Chronic Truth Podcast. I'm Kimberly Nash. Each week, we bring you real stories, expert insights, and honest conversations about chronic illness, rare disease, advocacy, healing, and life beyond the diagnosis. Here is where chronic illness meets truth, hope, and advocacy. Today, I am honored and joined by Kenneth Kabagambi, a powerful patient advocate and global health leader whose journey began from his own lived experience with hepatitis B. More than 13 years ago, Kenneth founded the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B, helping build one of Africa's leading patient-led movements for viral hepatitis awareness, advocacy, and access to care. His work has helped drive major initiatives across the continent, including the African Hepatitis Summit and the Triple Elimination Conference in Africa, focused on eliminating HIV, hepatitis B, and syphilis. Today, Kenneth continues to shape health policy and expand access to life-saving care while working toward a future where viral hepatitis no longer impacts millions of lives. Won't you please help me welcome Kenneth to the show? Welcome, Kenneth.
Thank you, Kimberly, for having me.
This is been a very special, exciting one for me. When we've connected and you said you'd be a guest, I just want to share with my listeners that I've been following you now well over 10 years, and you have been one of my own mentors in my own advocacy for hepatitis C. And so this is such an honor. I am truly grateful that you are willing to come on and share your story.
Thank you. I'm also humbled to be part of this podcast, and I hope that the viewers will find it exciting and also learn of a few or so things from this podcast.
Very good. Very good. Share with our listeners a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, thank you so much. So, like you've rightly introduced myself, I am the founding executive director for the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B, which is a patient-driven organization registered in Uganda. This organization was actually founded from my personal lived experience in 2012 when I discovered that I was having actual hepatitis B. Fortunately, I was not sick. I was not ill. But in 2009, when I was in my first year at the university, at Makerere University, I lost a friend to a strange disease, which I had never, you know, thought about or heard about. So that 2009 was a kind of a landmark year for me because it was a year that I came to realize that there was a disease called hepatitis B. But what was a little bit strange that time when we lost this friend of mine was the way he was actually buried, because the way he was actually buried was the same way we witness Ebola, you know, victims. He was rashly buried with no dignity. This struck my mind as like, what's this all about? What kind of disease is this that my friend has died of that has, you know, led to his, undignified kind of burial? So at that time, I had so many questions, but with limited answers. I am a social science by background. That was my first degree. And so I didn't have a lot of medical terminology or knowledge. So when I went back to the university, I did my personal research about hepatitis B. And that time, the prevalence of hepatitis B in Uganda was about 10% at a population of 35 million by that time in 2012. So literally translating to around 3.5 million Ugandans living with chronic hepatitis B. Of course, majority of these people are unaware of their diagnosis status. So it actually drove me to, again, ask so many questions. Why isn't government taking this as a serious public health issue? So then in 2012, I was like, okay, I have just completed my program. So let me go and check and have myself, you know, vaccinated against hepatitis B. Unfortunately, the results came when they are positive. Again, I was a bit struck down because, you know, after knowing how terrible this disease is, I couldn't take the results so easily. But I had to accept the reality because there was nothing that I could do, to reverse the result.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
So I kept on sharing my, you know, results with my friends. But all of a sudden, each time I shared, I realized that these colleagues of mine were kind of isolating themselves from, you know, associating with me. And I could not understand why. But again, when I looked how the colleague was buried, I was like, oh, it seems maybe there's a lot of misconceptions around the mode of transmission for hepatitis. So people thought hepatitis B was casually transmitted. So as a way of kind of creating, awareness through my personal lived experience, I decided to go public. And so I had to, have local media interviews with local radio stations, national TVs. And so I was like, I think I need to have this more broader and a bit structured. And that's how I came up with the idea of forming or establishing the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B. So our mandate as a patient-driven organization was basically to provide psychosocial support to the patients, because we realized that most of the hepatitis B patients were actually facing a lot of issues, even beyond the stigma that they face, you know, in the public. But we are seeing families break because of the discordance, say, in the couples. You would find that one has hepatitis B and the other doesn't have. So because of the, you know, the misconceptions and myths surrounding the mode of transmission, it really caused a lot of family breakdown, domestic violence, gender-based violence. And so the focus was basically to educate the communities, the health workers, to understand the proper mode of transmission for hepatitis B, but also to give hope to the people who are tested positive that this is not the end of the world. And so our work rotated around there because we did not have funding. Till date, viral hepatitis is one of the neglected diseases with no funding. Mm-hmm. So we used our small resources and we thought the advocacy we used on social media platforms, engaging with the media, you know, houses during World Hepatitis Day events was one way of amplifying our, you know, our work. So when we started, we literally did not have anything in public health facilities, you know, dedicated for hepatitis B. Most of the hepatitis B services were actually privately, you know, offered. And this was at a very huge cost, of which most of the patients were unable to actually afford. So in 2013, we deliberately wrote to the president of this country, inviting him for one of our events, our hepatitis B charity walk in Kampala. Fortunately enough, there had already been a lot of, discussions and also petitions from other regions where the prevalence was actually very high. And so that gave us a soft landing for the president to acknowledge our invitation to be the chief guest of this event. And so because of his busy schedule, he was able to delegate the prime minister. Fortunately, he's actually who by that time was a medical doctor and better understands, you know, the epidemiology and also the impact of liver cancer as a result of viral hepatitis. So he joined us for the walk. We had a number of high-level delegates, the members of parliament from the region where the prevalence was high. We had about four ministers. We had the foreign missions. We had the deputy Chinese ambassador to Uganda, and there were donations that were made by some Chinese diagnostic company to the Ministry of Health. And so during this event, we made a very particular case. So we did ask the government to, first of all, establish hepatitis B clinics, at least at the regional referral hospitals. So we have about 18 regional referral hospitals in the country. So to start with, we thought, because these were high-level, you know, health facilities with some bit of infrastructure, we did petition that the government, through the Minister of Health, establish clinics for hepatitis B in these facilities. We also did ask government at that time to allocate domestic financing for hepatitis because it was literally not funded by external partners. So we asked the government to provide, domestic funding for the program, but also asked them to provide free DNA viral load testing for hepatitis B, which was offered in private clinics, private facilities at around $150, which was very, very expensive for most of the patients. Uh-huh. And so after this charity walk, we were very fortunate that the next financial year, 2014-2015, the government was able to allocate $3 million to the Minister of Health specifically meant for hepatitis. And that's when the government, through the Minister of Health, now established a fully-fledged, department and also focal person at the Ministry of Health in charge of hepatitis. And so we worked across all the sectors to establish again the technical working group on hepatitis, which was actually under the leadership of the Minister of Health. We had to work on strategies. And then one of the big strategies that the ministry did, because we were in a political season, was to offer free adult testing and vaccination for hepatitis B. Unfortunately, the focus was more on the vaccination, but then the treatment for those that had tested positive was not well, financed and also, catered for. Again, we had to make a lot of advocacy to ensure that that also is included. So as we speak right now, we have at least some services that you can go to the lower health facilities and you are able to have a test for hepatitis B. Then you are able also to get referred, though the referral system is not yet well, developed like that of HIV, but at least we have come a long way and we appreciate the progress that has been done over time. So besides that, we have also been able to ensure that we advocate for the introduction of the hepatitis B path dose, because we realize that most of the infections happening in the country are from mother to child. And so if we can have all the newborns given this birth dose, we hope that the future will actually be free of hepatitis. And so in 2022, we were able to achieve that. So the country right now offers free birth dose for all the newborn babies, irrespective of the sero status of their mothers, whether the mother is positive for hepatitis B or negative, all their babies are eligible to receive this life-saving vaccine. The other thing
that
we have
wonderful
been
news.
Yeah. So the other thing that we have also been able to achieve is ensuring that all the pregnant women attending antenatal clinics are screened for hepatitis B. And those that are, discovered to be having the hepatitis B infection are given the medication to ensure that their babies do not contract hepatitis B during, birth. So these are some of the milestones that we have been able to achieve. There is free medication for those who are actually eligible for treatment in public health facilities. But the challenge that still remains is the issue of the stigma and discrimination. Mm-hmm. And recently, due to the global health financing issues caused by the Trump government, where PEPFAR, USAID were all, underfunded now, or not visible anymore.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So hepatitis B has been integrated in what we call integrated chronic care, where all the diseases are now being seen, HIV, hepatitis B, and others, other chronic infections. So because hepatitis B had no developed structures, we stand a risk of actually losing track. Much as the integration is actually a good idea, but because we do not have well-developed systems before this integration is happening, we are worried that, again, the few gains that we had, achieved for these years are more likely to, get to the drain, because most of the staff that are managing these chronic care clinics are staff that have actually been trained by the HIV vertical programs. And so their focus is actually more on HIV than, you know, hepatitis. So this is something that we are trying to, you know, inform the Ministry of Health that as we integrate, which is okay, given the current funding landscape, but we need to be very careful on what we are integrating. Not everything can be integrated. There are some aspects in the hepatitis B management that may not be fully integrated in the HIV or, you know, other, you know, infectious diseases. So, because of, again, the landscape, we have had to rethink our strategy of not only focusing on hepatitis B, but broadening the scope to other infectious diseases and non-communicable diseases, because we know that hepatitis B, if not treated, can actually lead to liver cancer. So we are also addressing hepatitis, looking at an angle of, liver cancer and those other complications. But also for the pregnant mothers, we are saying we need to integrate, looking at the HIV, hepatitis B, and syphilis. And that's why you see that one of our, achievement was to spearhead and organize the first inaugural triple elimination conference in Africa, which was one of its kind. And again, it came at a time when the funding was shrinking, and we thought of innovative ways of how to bring players in the HIV, syphilis, hepatitis B in one room, so that as we integrate, we should know the impact of all these diseases in the communities that we serve. So, and of course, the other challenge is funding. Funding has been a very huge problem.
Yes.
We have, I think it has been a very tough journey for us, you know, leading an organization that, looks at a disease which does not have dedicated international funding, like for other diseases. You know, with HIV, we have PEPFAR, with TB, we have Stop TB, with malaria, we have, the presidential, program on malaria. So something like that. So hepatitis doesn't enjoy these kinds of funding streams. And so it has been very complex for us to push on without funding. But because we are passionate about the work that we do, and we know that the little things that we do have a lot of impact in our community, that's why we have kept on moving irrespective of all these challenges. Yeah, thank you.
Yes. And the work that you started 10 years ago, the impact you're seeing now, reaching so many, the fact that now you're getting pregnant mothers tested and newborn babies, you know, vaccinated, this is a huge step from where you started, 10, 15 years ago. Well, it's what, almost 15 years ago. Incredible. What would you say is the biggest gap of funding for you? Is it not enough awareness about hepatitis B, or is it like a global shutdown, or when you're merging with the other three, you're fighting for that funding?
Yeah, well, so the biggest gap in hepatitis disease elimination, I think, is the global political will towards hepatitis, because hepatitis is a silent killer, you know. It does not show the early warning signs. Someone can live with the hepatitis B for so many years without showing the signs and symptoms. And I think that's why maybe most of the policymakers, even the funding agencies, don't take it serious. But for me, I just want to look at hepatitis as a cancer-causing viral infection, because if we don't take care of hepatitis in its early stages, or if we don't catch it so early, monitor these patients, then the end result will be developing liver cancer, liver cirrhosis, which is extremely very expensive in terms of financing or managing it, but also the economic burdens it causes, the social impact it causes to the families. So huge impact. And so for me, I think the global donors, the governments, need to appreciate hepatitis from just, you know, that silent killer, because we all know how cancer is a painful thing. We all know how most of the low income, exactly, and we know how much more low income countries are not efficient, do not have efficient mechanisms to treat cancers, and we wouldn't want to get to the cancers yet. Hepatitis B, for instance, has an effective vaccine, has effective treatment. We are glad that hepatitis C has a cure. And so we shouldn't really have the inequity in addressing public health, you know, threats like hepatitis. Hepatitis is equally important like any other disease. We see governments rush to pandemics like Ebola when they hear there is an Ebola, because Ebola can easily spread to, you know, so we shall see a lot of investment, you know, put there. And my appeal is, if we can put the same investment in diseases like hepatitis, which really leads to about 1.2 million people globally, and with 350-something people, I think this is a very, I mean, the statistics are clear, but the policymakers are not, you know, addressing the problem until maybe it gets out of hand when they see so many people dying of liver cancer. Maybe that's when they want to act, yet would have done something to actually prevent these, you know, complications. So for me, that's what I see as the biggest challenge. And I hope that whoever watches this podcast and has the capacity to act or to share the message to their policy leaders, the philanthropies, hepatitis cannot wait. And we have all the tools.
And that's so true. We need it. We need, I like that, how you said that we need to act now. Hepatitis attacks the liver. So for the new listeners tuning in, it's a viral disease that attacks the liver. How does hepatitis B, how is that transmitted?
Yeah. So, well, again, there are so many theories, you know, about the transmission of hepatitis, and this is what causes a lot of confusion in the public.
Yes, yes.
But we know that in Africa, hepatitis B is transmitted through mother to child, especially if a mother, a pregnant mother, has hepatitis B and they have not screened them during their antenatal checks. So during delivery, the blood of the mother gets in contact with that of the baby, then the baby will definitely get the hepatitis B infection. Hepatitis B can also be transmitted through sharing of contaminated sharp objects like razor blades, safety pins, mention them. And so it is more or less like HIV. At some point, there has been also some studies that have been conducted to showcase that to some extent it can also be transmitted sexually, but this is to some smaller extent. But the primary route of transmission is through blood contact. It is very important also to note that hepatitis B is not casually transmitted. It can't be transmitted through sweat. It can't be we need to be very careful about the body fluids. So these body fluids should contain blood particles, and the blood particles should also have surface with an open blood surface on the other person who is not infected with hepatitis B. So that is how hepatitis B can actually be transmitted.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a My Lowe's Rewards or a My Lowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Do you still see high stigma in your country for those with hepatitis B?
So much so. So much that on every, say, before 1 month ends, we shall have cases of employment termination due to hepatitis B. Recently, I received a message from one graduate who had actually graduated in the oil sector and was working with a company, a huge company, which I may not mention because of maybe their privacy, but he was terminated because he had tested positive and he was questioning himself. I mean, did I go and, you know, buy this infection that I'm treated this way? My parents have invested a lot of money in this course. I have graduated. And now at the time of, you know, getting employment, then, you know, my contract is terminated. So the stigma that is attributed to hepatitis B now is actually steeper compared to that of the HIV patients faced in Uganda. Because the reason is, we have not had enough awareness, educational sessions. Even the, I mean, we don't have the structures. For instance, for HIV, you know, there are clear counseling, you know, structures in place, but we don't have this much as we have the services for hepatitis B currently, but we do not have the same structures for counseling hepatitis B patients. And that is very disastrous. That can even cause a lot of, you know, distress and depression among the hepatitis B patients.
And I wish there was something we could do, as a global community to reduce the stigma, because that's what's hindering, you know, education about this, is people have their own visions on how it's transmitted, for example, and we're closing off to ignorance, and that's not acceptable to me.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. So we have been having a number of programs supported by the Hepatitis B Foundation using the storytelling approach of lived experienced people, that has somehow addressed some of the issues, and we have seen patients get relinked back to the health facilities. But again, this is done on a small scale in a particular district, so we do not have the capacity to scale this across the country, even when we have shared results, who have shared reports to the Ministry of Health. Due to the competing priorities and minimal resources, the ministry is not able to adopt these modules or these models to use them at a national level. So we again appeal to well-wishers, philanthropies who have the capacity and who care about the mental health of the people living with hepatitis and other chronic illnesses,
yes,
come and help us scale some of these effective tested initiatives so that we can reach a huge chunk of people, and then we can be able to, you know, help our people from these challenges.
For our listeners, I know hepatitis A and B have a vaccination, but no cure. Hepatitis C has a cure, but no vaccination. How are they coming along on a cure for Hep B?
Well, so we have seen companies like GSK do a lot of work on finding the functional cure. Recently, they published, positive results about one of their products, promising products. Though we see that the coverage for this is still very low, and also the treatment, the cure rates, the functional cure rates are still very low. But we hope that the study is now beginning to be positive. We hope that maybe in the near future, there will be more companies also invest in the same. And you never know, the cure might be actually on its way. My only challenge or worry is that most of the clinical trials for these medicines are not done in low, middle-income countries like Africa, where the burden of hepatitis B is very huge. And so I again appeal to the leadership of these pharmaceutical companies that they should think about, you know, a product or medicine that is, you know, focusing on all populations without necessarily discriminating from which regions one comes from. But also when they are approved and they are on the market, we hope that they will be accessible and also they will be affordable, because it's one thing to have these products on the market, but also the other thing to have them easily accessible to the people that need them. So we pray and hope that once these products have been eventually approved for use, for public use, they should be able to reach all the people that need them without facing challenges.
I agree. And we kind of face that too with the Hep C, the whole gamut of stuff. We face that too. So we should have learned from that, you know. But did we? I don't know. How can our listeners reach out to you, or what are some platforms that you want to share with our listeners where they can do some research, help you share your voice and share your mission?
Yeah, so we have a website for the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B, which is www.noplhb.org. We also have LinkedIn. You can follow us on LinkedIn, the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B. You can also look me up. My name is Kenneth Kabagambe. On Facebook, we still have the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B, and also my name, Kenneth Kabagambe. Yeah, I use the same profile picture as that on LinkedIn and also Facebook. Yeah, so those are the platforms.
Good to know. Good to know. Any way I can help get your voice out there, get your mission out there, I will certainly do so. I would be wanting to let you know too, I'm going to put your links on my own foundation for, it used to be for hepatitis C, but I branched it to all liver diseases now. So I'm going to put all your links on there for anyone that reaches out to our facility on my Chronic Truth podcast. I'm also going to put these links out there. It is something that is true to my heart. And I do believe we do need, you know, more funding for hepatitis, and it's being ignored. So I'll help you out any way I can, Kenneth.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. I really appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share what we have been able to do and also what we envisage to do in the future.
Well, you are an incredible advocate, and I am so honored to have you on my show, Kenneth. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and I hope the viewers will enjoy the podcast, and we shall be able to get feedback. If there are questions that they would want me to respond to, please let them follow my social media handles. I'll be able to follow them through and get them feedback.
We will certainly do that. So listeners, look for all his links on this episode. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Chronic Truth. If today's conversation resonated with you, please subscribe, leave us a review, and share this episode with anyone who may need to hear it. And remember, your voice and stories matter, and you do not have to walk this journey alone. And until next week, not without a fight.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.